Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Creating a Championship Standard of Living. I am your host, Miles W. Miller. It is such an honor to have you on the show today. I have a great show planned for you. I'm actually really excited because this is what I get to do best. I get a chance to motivate and inspire people, and I brought guests on today that will help us do the exact same thing. Today, before we get started, I'd like to start by praying. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for being here with open hearts to receive good information to set us on our way so that we can realize the destiny that you have set for us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a great honor today to be before you. I want to introduce myself to you again. We were supposed to start last week, and we didn't get a chance to start on time. Some of you may have seen my introduction to you. And if you get some, when you get some time, please go ahead and take a look at that. Download it. You can download it as a podcast. But to give you a little bit more about me, I am a motivational expert. I'm not just a speaker. I'm not just a writer. I'm not just a coach. But I consider myself to be a motivational expert. And I study things that cause people to move better in what it is they've been called to do. And this show will be nothing more than that, nothing less than that, excuse me. I really want you to come here every week and with your heart open and whatever it is that you need, pull on me and let's come up with solutions because I want to see everybody succeed. We're going to get started now. I want to start this week off. There's a segment I'm going to do every week now. It's going to be called Presidential Wisdom. And what I've done, I've actually been studying online, just, you know, getting information ready for this show and everything. And I looked and I saw a website with quotes from President Barack Obama. And this is one of the most brilliant men I've had a chance to study and read their quotes. He's actually a very brilliant man, and I wanted to share a quote with you that President Obama was quoted saying, and the quote goes, "We need to internalize the idea of excellence. Not many folks spend a lot of time trying to be excellent." I want to repeat that. We need to internalize the idea of excellence. Not many folks spend a lot of time trying to be excellent. And what I want to talk to you today is about the constant pursuit of excellence. Many times in life, people will try to go out and do things. They'll go out and try to be this or be that, or they'll buy this and buy that in hopes of trying to be happy. But the thing that will always get you to the top faster than any other principle that I can think of is excellence. And there's five steps that I wanted to share with you today to help you on your pursuit of excellence. The first thing that you need to understand is that excellence is not perfection. Excellence is not perfection. What I mean by that is that you're not being required to be perfect, because there was only one perfect being that came before us, and that was Jesus Christ. And we're expected to live our lives like that, but we need God to perfect those things concerning us so that we're not overly concerned with trying to have cross every I and dot every T. Dot every I and cross every T. We're more focused on being the very best person that we can be at any given moment, at any given time. So, with that understood, a perfectionist, although they may seem to be very effective in what they do, although they may seem to be doing things a certain way, a perfectionist really is not moving in excellence. Because a perfectionist, a lot of times you see people who they have to get everything just right. A lot of times those people don't really lead lives that you want to emulate. But a person who moves in excellence leads a lifestyle that many people marvel at and want to emulate and want to find out what is it about this person that makes them stand out above the crowd. The second piece, excellence will require a change of mind. Again, excellence will require a change of mind. We learn this actually in Romans 12, where it tells us that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, excellence is a state of being that takes place in your mind. Your mind is such a powerful tool, and once you completely harness it, it puts you in a position to experience the greater things in life, to be an example of how to experience the goodness of life and how to be able to experience the things that God has placed in this universe for us to enjoy and to be a part of and to affect change. But that comes with changing your mind to anything that would come against your game plan, anything that would come against your destiny. You would want to take time to clean those things out of your mind so that you can move in excellence. The third step is that excellence will propel you and cause you to stand out. Anytime you do something extraordinarily, it's going to cause you to stand out. Not in perfectionism, but in being able to move forward in life and being able to be an example in realizing your dreams and realizing your destiny. It's going to cause you to stand out. It's going to propel you. I know a lot of times I have people come and tell me that they really understand or really admire the things I do because I've actually had the courage to step out and live my dreams. I'm actually in a situation now where I left everything that I knew in order to move to Atlanta to for ministry. And it was one of the toughest decisions I ever made in my life, but I look back at it now, this was one of the easiest things I've ever had to do as far as making this decision to be here at this point in time right now. And I look back at it, it wasn't so simple, but it wasn't so hard. But it's the things that, because I was able to adapt so well, other people looked at my life as if the things that were very tough, I made look easy, because I didn't complain about the trials I may have gone through. I didn't openly show my pain, and the things that I didn't understand, I prayed about and asked God to show me His insight and His will. How would He have things done? And now I'm in a situation where people actually come to me saying, I admire your toughness. I admire your integrity. I admire you for what you've been able to do. And that's excellence. That's a sign of excellence. Our fourth thing that you need to understand about in your pursuit of excellence is that excellence will draw attacks from simple and narrow-minded people. Excellence will draw attacks from simple and narrow-minded people. You have to understand something, that any time you move forward, there's going to always be a force moving against you to try to push you back. Whenever there's good, there's going to be evil. Whenever you see a move of God, the enemy is going to show up as well. And whenever you go to make it, to go to that extra mile, to go out and go above and beyond the call of what normal people do, the things that make uncommon people uncommon, it's going to ruffle feathers and it's going to draw attacks. And you have to be prepared for that. Any dreamer, any visionary who's ever accomplished anything great has known that this is inevitable. You're going to face attacks. And the fifth step that I want to leave with you in your pursuit, in your constant pursuit of excellence, is excellence will require a coach or a mentor. Excellence will require a coach or a mentor. But not just any coach, but an excellent coach. A coach who exudes these things that they would try to teach you. I was absolutely blessed. I had, as my excellence coach, it happened to be two people, three people that I can name right off the top of my head that really took time to show me how to operate and move and be a professional at how I do things and not just take things for granted. One of which is my mentor, Mr. Greg Hardin, who was slated to be one of my guests last week. Mr. Greg Hardin is also the reason why I even wanted to be a motivational speaker. I saw him in his life, just it stood out to me. He walked in the room and he gave, it was my freshman year in college, he gave a speech, and just from 20 minutes, 20 to 40 minutes in his presence, I knew I wanted to do the things he did. I knew I wanted to be like that man. And today I'm able to tell you that I can encourage other people, I can talk to other people, I can motivate people because of my connection to Mr. Hardin. Second person who really made a massive impact on me as far as excellence is my Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. He actually took time to mentor me personally as well on how to flow and how to deal with people and how to be a professional, just to be a service-oriented leader. And those types of things, when people come in your presence and you know how to interact with them and you know that how to put their needs above your own, it causes you to get promoted quicker. It causes you to get elevated quicker. It causes you to be launched quicker into your destiny. Because people now want to see you excel because they feel a part of your success. And that's one of the things I definitely picked up from Bishop Jackson. The third person who really has made had a definite impact on me in the area of excellence is my current pastor, Pastor Ginaldo Lee. He's had a tremendous impact on me as far as professionalism, again, appearance, making sure that the what I give people as far as the outward appearance matches the inward appearance. That I seek to be a leader, that I seek to be not just a normal guy, but a guy who leaves an indelible impact. And I've been blessed to have this type of leadership, this type of mentorship for a long time. I've never had common leaders. I've always had uncommon leaders, people who push me to be greater, who exude these same talents themselves. And I'm telling you, if you don't have a coach, you don't have a mentor, you have to find one. I'm available. I just want to throw that out there. I'm definitely available to be a coach for you. And I look forward to doing whatever it is I can to help you along the path. Now, people, this is a great day. Moving in the spirit of excellence and in the pursuit of excellence, I have today five guests who are dynamic in what it is they do. I've entitled this show Writer's Delight. And this show is dedicated to all you writers out there who are in pursuit of finishing novels, who are in pursuit of writing articles and being a published author, a published writer. This show is for you. Not only now do you have a plan of action for how to move in excellence, but now you're going to get real-life advice from people who have actually lived it and people who actually live it. Right now, I'm going to introduce to you our first guest. Our first guest, Miss Ashara Giles, is a very, very awesome woman. Ashara is a graduate of Cass Technical High School in Detroit, Michigan. She became an author destined to shatter the myths surrounding issues such as depression, and domestic abuse. As a survivor of both, Ashara maintains her relationship with Jesus Christ that kept her going. She has been published several times since she was 7 years old, but her recent novel, Done, is her debut novel. Ashara is a single mother and son to Alexander, who resides in the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Ashara. Hello, Ashara.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Miles? Thank you so much for that great introduction.
You're so welcome. Well, Ashara, we have you on here, and the goal of today and the theme of today's show is the constant pursuit of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you tell the listeners now that you have a person out there who really wants to be a writer, who really wants to be a published author, who really has a desire to touch people's hearts with their writing work? What can you tell them as a person who's now done it? You successfully published a great novel.
Right.
What can you tell them to keep them going?
My main piece of advice, I guess you could say, would be to, as my grandmother used to tell me, keep on keeping on. You know, my grandmother was from Greenville, Mississippi, and she never gave up in anything that she did, and that was, I guess you could say, my mentor.
Okay.
Who encouraged me to continue to write. You will come to various roadblocks, as you stated earlier. Different oppositions and things of that nature. But when you know that God has given you a dream and a passion and that desire to write, you have to follow through with that. No matter how many tears you cry, no matter how many people say no, no matter how many people tell you that, you know, you can't do it, it's not good enough, don't believe it. Just keep writing. Keep believing God and keep Him first, of course, so that you can see everything come to fruition.
That's a great, great answer. A lot of people get stuck on their trial, their tribulation, which we already know is coming. We've been promised that trials and tribulations are going to come.
Absolutely.
But you know in your heart that this is something that God has given you. And you may not be completely, you may not know God. This is for a person who may not really understand God, but they understand that they have a passion.
Right.
How can you get that to them, whereas they can understand that God loves them and still wants that thing that's inside them to come to pass? What would you advise them to do?
Again, even if they are not very familiar with God as, you know, say a personal relationship, so to speak, as some of us do know him, you still know that you're made up of a spirit and flesh, and in your own soul, just like you have secular artists or whoever, such as, you know, Puffy, Sean Combs. This man is determined to be a success.
Right.
You know within yourself that there are things that you are called to do, whether it's by a higher power of God or whether it's just within your own personal desire to succeed in life, that this is what you have to do. And again, no matter how many different obstacles come in your way, you have to keep going forward and try not to look too much to the past, because your past cannot be allowed to rule your future. If you allow your past to rule your future, you never will succeed.
Wow. And there's a lot of people that need to hear that. A lot of people will get, I coach a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people who are still battling issues that may have happened to them 15, 16, 17, 20, 25 plus years ago that
exactly.
they haven't let go of. So
yeah.
Would you agree that maybe forgiveness can help loosen that gift inside of them? Maybe that if a person could let go of things that aren't going to get them to their destiny, and forgive the people who may even cause them, that they can actually unleash a different side of that gift?
I'm going to say that forgiveness is definitely key. A part of my personal testimony that kind of rolls into, you know, the novel Done is that I was a victim of several different types of abuse since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And many people never knew that. I kept it inside until I was at least 26 or 27. And it wasn't until I allowed God to begin to deliver me and, you know, for me to begin to forgive those who had hurt me, whether it was intentional or unintentionally, that I began to have doors open, you know, and people began to come into my life to help me to be able to write done and to create it and to get the book out there. And now I'm here on your radio show, for instance, helping other people.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's not easy to forgive. It's not going to happen overnight. It really isn't. It is a process, and it's something that you have to be willing to do, but God will definitely work through you.
I definitely agree with that. So, Ashar, tell us about the book, Done. What could our readers expect when they pick this book up?
Well, when they pick this book up, what I tell people first is that, yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I'm an author, but this is not your mama's Christian book. My characters are real characters. These are people who are going through situations such as depression and psychiatric care and, you know, adultery, things of that nature, which are real to us, but are often not addressed in the church and sometimes, unfortunately, even ignored.
Right.
The young lady in the book, Ava, is in an abusive marriage, and she finds some things out about her husband, and she has to make a decision in life in regards to forgiveness and trusting God about what to do about her future and whether or not her past is going to hinder her from that, so to speak.
Okay. Wow. So where can people find Done?
Right now, they can go to my website, which is www.ashara, A-S-H-A-R-A, the author, .com, and it's all together. Or they can visit me on MySpace or Facebook. You can just Google my name, and there I am.
Okay. Well, Ashar, I want to thank you. I want you to hold on for a second. We're going to interview some few more people, and we're going to open up the lines for questions from the,
sure,
the audience.
So, okay.
We're going to go to our next guest. Our next guest is a phenomenal author herself. She is just a multifaceted person, a kickboxing instructor, aerobics teacher, praise and worship dancer. I probably left out a few things, but let me tell you about my next guest. Monica Marie Jones is our next guest. She is the author of a very thought-provoking book called The Ups and Downs of Being Round, which deals with weight gain and weight loss and the psyche of a young girl. The Taste of My Soul and the book Floss. She's also a contributing author in Chicken Soup for the Girl's Soul, New Directions for Youth Development, and several publications and youth development training for High Scope Educational Research Foundation. She has worked as a columnist and freelance writer for the Michigan Front Page newspaper and is now an active member of the Motown Writers Network. I want to introduce to you Monica Marie Jones.
Hello.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Miles.
How are you doing today?
I am great. So happy to be on this inspirational show. I loved your message initially there.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I know I may have left off a title or a degree when I was mentioning you, so if there's something I forgot, please forgive me and, you know, charge it to my head, not to my heart.
Oh, that doesn't matter. I'm an author first and foremost.
Well, I've been keeping up with you. I haven't talked to you in a little while, but I've been watching some of the things you've been doing as far as like you've done a book tour recently.
Yes, it's ongoing. I'm just, as I can, I'm traveling all around the world to spread my books, my messages behind my books, and just, you know, continue to live in my purpose.
Okay. So tell us more about your latest book, Floss.
Okay, well, Floss is about people who live a lifestyle that is driven by money, cars, jewelry, and other material possessions. And the characters in this book really believe that they can use these things to measure their worth and to get what they want.
Okay.
But what they end up realizing is that all of these things come at a far higher cost than what they really, you know, realize. And at the end, I don't want to give away the end, but
okay.
they're all left really thinking, you know, hey,
right.
is all of this really worth it? Can I find true fulfillment? Can I find true joy from these external factors and external things? That's the quick version of floss.
And that's a really good version. I think a lot of people that we know, you know, personally deal with those same issues every day. And I think that, you know, the reason why, first and foremost to the rest, to the audience, the reason why I selected the people that you're going to see today, everybody that I'm bringing before you now, they are just dynamic writers. And the work that they do, it's not something you can just read and just put down. It's something that you can read and you're going to think about it. And these are things that, you know, you think about, things that help people get through normal situations in life. So, Monica, tell us more. What would you tell somebody who had never seen any of your work before? What would you tell them about, you know, how you write and how do you go through the motion of writing and getting things done to finish a novel? Because I think Monica's now on book number 7, if I'm not mistaken.
well, I guess if you think of it like that, I'm on book number 3 as far as my books that have been published, but I've contributed to 3 other books. So my new novel will be the 7th time I've been published.
Wow.
I never thought of it like that.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Well, actually, what I'll say is, you know, I just started writing to process my emotions, you know, and then I started sharing with people, and I realized that the emotions that it evoked in them and how it was actually ministering to people, when that wasn't even my initial intention. So I took that as a sign that, hey, this is something you're supposed to share with the world. I loved hearing Ashara's testimony because it's like, we go through things and we think we're supposed to hide them and be ashamed, but a lot of times we go through those things so we can share our testimony so that we can help minister to someone else and help them get through it. So that's how I got started writing. And once I realized, it was after Chicken Soup for the Girl's Soul, my story was published in there, I realized that I wanted to do it professionally.
Okay.
So initially, I just immersed myself in the literary world. I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I volunteered at every conference I could, you know, and while I was volunteering, I was soaking everything up. And then initially, I just said, you know what, the more that I did not focus on it 100%, the more I felt like I was cheating myself, like I was betraying my soul. So I ended up stepping out on faith and leaving my full-time job. And it has been over a year now since
wow.
I have just been focusing on writing, and it has been a true blessing. Now, don't get me wrong, there have been ups and downs and trials and tribulations, but I just keep on using it for new work,
wow.
you know, and I just keep going because I've never been happier and I've never been more fulfilled.
Now, I want to tell my audience now, I was there. Monica talked to me and told me about the things that was going on when she took a bold leap, and she didn't just walk out there. She took a leap. She's like, you know what? I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to tell you this. Listen to what Monica just said. She did that, but I'm not going to advise everybody to do that. Don't go running, quitting your job and start writing a book today. Don't do that. But if you feel that you can pull it off and you're ready for the challenge, and also understand if you have family obligations and things like that, don't just quit your job. I am not encouraging you to quit your job, because if you got a spouse at home that you got to feed, you got a family you got to feed, you think about everything. You weigh the consequences. I'm letting you know that. But I am definitely one who will promote a person who wants to step out and live the life of their dreams. But use common sense. Okay, throw out that disclaimer.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You have to think about it, and you really have to have that faith of a mustard seed. I remember reading another inspirational author, and she said, you'll never make more money doing anything than what God has purpose for you
wow.
to do.
That's so
you know?
True. That's so true.
So if you think about that, and you put all that energy into that thing that you put into your job, and you put into hanging out, and you put into everything else that you push as a priority as opposed to what you're really supposed to be doing, then you'll be just fine, you know, if you put all that energy into that one thing. Follow that one course.
Wow.
Until successful. Focus.
And I like hearing that, because a lot of people need to hear that if you can really focus your attention on something, see, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. If you can really focus your attention on that thing that you desire, you can't want it too long. You won't want it because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. And that attention that you focus on, that thing that you know is inside of you, that you know that you have to do, that but if you had to do it for free, you could do it with your eyes closed. You can do it and pour your heart out and do it. If you can focus your attention on that thing, that very thing is going to change your life. I guarantee it. I just want to put that out there also. Monica, you have definitely said some things here I know that people really need to hear. And when you replay this podcast, you know, I urge anybody who hears this to get this podcast. If you know somebody who needs to hear this, get this podcast. Replay this thing because this is something that people need to hear. People need to know that your dreams and your passions, they are worth pursuing. And there are people out here every day who pursue them. And just like Ashara, just like Monica, just like the rest of our guests. And I know some of the listeners even that when you put your heart and soul into something, you can hang your hat on that knowing that I'm going in the right direction. I'm doing the things necessary to be great. And, you know, the people, like I said, I'm bringing on here as guests today, they go above and beyond the call of duty to be great. They are what you would call excellent. They excel. And, Monica, I thank you. Monica, where can we find some of your books?
You can find all of my books, the paperback and the electronic book, on my website. It's www.monicamariejones.com. And Marie is M-A-R-I-E, MonicaMarieJones.com, spelled just how it sounds. And look for the audio books coming soon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Stepping on up here.
Yep. Oh, and they're also available. You can order them at any major bookstore, Amazon.com, Borders, Barnes & Noble. But go to my website first, please.
Yes.
I'm living on faith here.
Okay, people, that's also another thing. Like a lot of authors, when you become an author and you're selling a book, you are an independent agent. So you want to support the agent first before you go to the big chain. Go to her website. Go to these authors' websites and buy their books directly from them, and it makes a bigger impact on them. Because, honestly, if you get this book, you get this is something that somebody has poured their heart into, and it may not mean as much as you think it does, but it does. If you support them, it does something more for yourself when you can know that I supported this person. And because I'm supporting this person, they can do what they've been called to do. And when you assist somebody in helping them do what they've been called to do, you open God has this universe set up where the universe is going to pour into you the same thing. So I always encourage people, support the author directly. You don't always have to go to Amazon to get the book. You can go to her website. And I'm sure, you know, if you wait to the end of the show, she can give you a P.O. box where you can mail it if you need to get mail to her. Am I correct?
Sure.
Well, Monica, I want you to hold on for a moment. We're going to go to the next guest. My next guest is a dynamic young author as well. I don't have any bio information on her because things happened. I understand. But I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's a dynamic young author, a dynamic writer. She's a columnist, film, script writer, if you name it, she can do it. Brandy, I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the people and what it is that you have to offer.
Hi, Miles.
Hi, Brandy.
So I just want to say I'm really sorry that I didn't get my bio to you in time.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You're good people.
You follow me on Twitter. You follow me on Facebook. You know it's because I'm super busy. I'm doing like 1,000 things at once. So what I can tell you about myself is, like everyone else, I graduated from Cass Tech, class of 96. I, of course,
that was a nice class, too.
Huh?
That was a nice class at Cass Tech.
It was the best class, actually. I'm also an alum of Wayne State University in Detroit,
okay.
Michigan, and I currently reside in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. So, Brandy, what do you write now?
I think that I represent a different end of the spectrum than the other guests, and that I am in the beginning of my career as a professional writer. I currently am paid to write a blog called Single in LA. That's singleinla.today.com, and it's all about my life as a single woman living in Los Angeles in trying to make things happen for myself in Hollywood.
Wow. So how's that going? How's your following with that?
I've been very fortunate. I started the blog in May of last year, and the Today.com blog network hosts about 1,000 blogs, and I am in the top 10 of those blogs.
Oh, wow.
So I've been very blessed, very fortunate to have people enjoy the things that I write. I mean, of course, when you write, you do it not with the hopes of riches. You hope you might be, you know, successful, but the real success is in the writing, and I'm just glad that people have been receptive to it.
And I've actually, you know, had the opportunity to read some of your work, and you are a great writer. And some of the stories you tell, it's like, wow. Could you just share, is there one story that may stick out that you want to share with the people?
Oh, my goodness. One story that I could share. I love them all because they're about my life. I would say that there's not a specific story that I could share that I love, but a theme throughout. I kind of consider myself a modern-day feminist.
Okay.
And I think that the most powerful thing that I do on my blog is I talk about myself being a career woman, a woman that's driven, a woman that respects myself, a woman that has very high standards and that doesn't settle, and how that kind of manifests itself in the real world of trying to date, trying to find the one, trying to live your life, trying to be moral and have fun and all that stuff at the same time. I think that all of my stories encompass that, and sometimes they go astray, but you know, they're just representative of my life. So
I understand that. And you're saying you're just at the beginning stages of your writing career, and already you've been picked up by a major network.
Yes.
A major syndicate of writers.
Yes.
Wow. Now,
so I'm very fortunate in that way.
That is absolutely amazing. A lot of people write for years and never get picked up. And
I know.
And you're pursuing your passion. You're doing something that's near and dear to your heart, and already you've excelled at it. You're excelling at it, and that's amazing. What advice would you offer anybody who's just starting as a writer today, and they really, really want to make this thing in their life? They really want their career to be writing. What advice would you give them?
The best advice that I can give is to just do it. In January of this year, you know, everybody makes New Year's resolutions and things
right.
like that. And my first blog post of the new year was basically focused on the fact that I make a lot of lists and I have all these lofty goals and I'm pursuing so many things at the same time. And that one thing that I wanted to resolve to do in my own personal life is to just do more. So my advice to anybody that wants to be a writer, wants to be whatever, wants to be a lawyer, wants to be the next black president of the United States, is to just pursue your dreams and to just do it. You put one foot in front of the other, you put pen to paper, you put finger to keyboard, and just do it.
You know, it seems so simple. Just do it. And we've seen it as a Nike ad. We've seen it, you know, on billboards and on bumper stickers and things like that. But what about a person who they may not understand? They write, they feel it, but they may not understand how to connect just doing it to just doing it. Like, how could you, if you were to advise them, what would you say to them?
Okay, I don't want to oversimplify it, but let me tell you how it happened for me to just do it. I started a personal blog, a non-paid blog, in December of 2008. I started that blog because a friend of mine had given me a book. He knew that I was grappling between my lifelong dream of being a lawyer, and I always wanted to be an entertainment lawyer, but I also always was very creative and was afraid to pursue those things. I always kind of considered that as something I would do on the side. And he gave me a book called Writing Down the Bones. And in that book, the author advised me and anyone that was reading that your writing life just begins with you sitting down and writing anything. So thinking of a keyword, apple, sit down and write everything you can about an apple. And you can't do it because, you know, I don't want to do this because I'm going to put time into it and I'm not necessarily getting a check for it. I'm not doing anything that I don't get paid for. So instead of oversimplifying and saying just do it, I would just say pursue the things that make you happy. It's not about, like, you know, sitting down and, okay, today I'm going to write a book. You might not write a book. You might sit down and write a poem. You might write a haiku. You know what I mean? You might write a love letter to your crush from high school. But it has to start somewhere. So that's really what I mean by just doing it, is just following your dream for your path and sitting down and doing it.
Wow. And this is, people, this is real life advice from real life people who are really just doing it. These are people who stood up, they felt this in their heart just to do it, and they stepped out and did it. And it doesn't necessarily end with writing. It could be anything, like she said, like Brandy said. You know, think about what was going on in President Obama's mind. You know, he had to actually he had to actually believe it. Our pastor talked about this in Wednesday night Bible class. You know, he actually had to believe this. And once he believed it and started speaking it out and started actually putting action to his belief, stuff, the universe started, you know, moving in his direction. Things started coming his way. People started helping him. People who wouldn't even, you know, I even read an article about the president, that the Ku Klux Klan actually supported him.
Wow.
That's amazing to me. You know, I know it may seem funny and comical, but in the same sense, that just shows you the power of belief and the power of moving in the direction of your goals. This man, this black man, moved in the direction of his goals and had known white supremacists, like racists, that were for him or in his corner. Even his enemies were at peace with him. If you can just do it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm talking to somebody. If you can just go in the direction of your dreams, just step out. Brandy is in the beginning stages of her writing career. She's just really getting started, but she's already at a level that 20-plus year journalists probably won't even touch, because she just did it. And that's one principle, that if you don't pick up anything today, pick up that just do it. Just get started in the direction of your dreams. Just get started in the direction of your goals, and stuff will start moving for you. Brandy, I thank you. Where can we follow you again?
You can follow me every single day at www.singlenla.today.com. I update my blog. I'm supposed to update it daily. I don't always do it, but I'm fortunate enough to still get paid even when I don't. But I'm encouraged by more followers to write more every day. So check me out on Single in LA.
What about, do you have a MySpace page, Facebook, Twitter?
I do not have a MySpace page. I do have a Twitter, though, and anybody that follows me on Twitter knows that I'm slightly addicted to it. You might
Definitely.
Get to know many more things about me than you ever thought you would get to know. My Twitter page is Twitter, twitter.com/HUTEINLA.
Okay, well, Brandy, I want you to hold on. We're going to take some callers in a moment, but I want to go to the next caller.
Okay.
And this leads us to our next guest. Our next guest is a phenomenal person. I can't say enough about our next guest. She has done some dynamic things. She actually is the reason why I'm actually doing a Blog Talk radio show, because I guest appeared on her radio show back in December, and I was just inspired, just completely inspired. This young lady is a dynamic publicist, dynamic PR representative, agent, just mega great person, and just a nice person just to be friends with. My next guest, Dee Stewart, is could you introduce yourself, Dee? Hello, Dee?
Hello?
Hello, Dee?
Hello? Hello?
Dee?
Hi.
Hey, you're live.
I was muted, and then I couldn't unmute myself.
How are you doing today?
I'm great.
It's great hearing from you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, this is exciting for me. You don't realize how important this is and how happy I am to know that, you know, you really impacted me just in a matter of, like a matter of 2 months. I've only known you since, like, December. And you've really,
wow,
you really caused me to step my game up and do things, you know, a lot more assertively. And I thoroughly appreciate you. As a writer, as a speaker, as a, you know, as a coach, everything, I'm really, you know, honored to know you. But as a publicist, mm-hmm, you work with a lot of authors.
Mm-hmm.
What's one thing that you think that authors need to know or writers need to know in trying to promote themselves and promote their books? What is one thing that you would advise any up-and-coming author in that area?
They need to know and understand the marketplace and the industry very well before they think of taking their book and actually submitting it into the marketplace. And what I mean by that is, I have the experiences that I've had, the authors who don't understand this industry and the process that it takes become discouraged. They take it personally, and they leave, or they jump into something too quickly, and they find themselves in a lot of debt.
Right.
Most of my clients are published authors. I do have some that are independent published, but they know we discuss in great detail what is the best route for them to take so that their book can be nationally distributed, so that anyone can go to any bookstore and pick up their book, so they can go into any bookstore and be a part of a book event. And so that's not the, you know, one of the biggest things. And the other one, which is just as equally important, is they have to create a very good book that is current and it is it fits within the marketplace. It's priced correctly. It's great craftsmanship. They have to understand the elements of story, and they have to pull off a very good story. Because no matter how much publicity you try to get or advertising you try to get, if your book is not up to snuff, people are not going to buy it. And you don't want people returning your book.
Right. You know, and that's amazing that you say that. A lot of people – now, our last guest, Brandy, she talked about just doing it. But there's also a way in just doing it, that she's not just doing things, not just putting stuff in front of people, not just putting, you know, work in front of people just saying, okay, here, take this. She's actually taking mm-hmm. thought to what she's doing. She's actually creating a good product. And it, you mm-hmm. really, if you're going to be a writer, a carpenter, a woodmaker, a woodworker, whatever it is you're doing, you have to pursue excellence. You have to be in the mindset of that this product that I'm putting out is going to be good, that it's going to be beyond good, it's going to really revolutionize whatever it is I'm doing. And I think if you take take that mindset towards creating your product, creating your book, whatever it is you may be trying to create, that you're going to actually put a product in the market that won't come back to you as far as being returned as okay, this is not acceptable. You want to always put in the forefront of your mind that this work that I'm doing is my best work. And you want to go at it with that mentality that you're going to give the people a product that they can keep and that they can feel proud that they actually have.
Right. And I write for a blog that is read by Christianity Today, a lot of the Christian retailers, and my own blog is also syndicated through Blogger. It's a paid blog as well. I get about 10,000 hits a month, and most of the people who read the blog are either people in the industry or publishing houses or bookstores, booksellers, and we have these discussions a lot because right now, with the economy, book buying, book purchasing is challenged, and so bookstores are being very careful about what they're going to put in the stores. I also am a bookseller for Essex Magazine, a porting seller. So oftentimes, we don't even, not only do we sell in bookstores, we have our host our own parties. We sell at different venues. We host our own book fairs, and the same thing. It's the same issue. Book buyers are being more selective. And so you don't want to have a product that's overpriced, particularly in this economy.
Right. So how do you successfully, how would one successfully brand their product? I mean, so that you can make sure that you got a product that people want. How do you brand it so that people, when they see it and the product's coming after it, they're already waiting for it because they know that this is something that's good. How do you brand that?
I think it first starts with your connection with Christ. Like I said, I write for, outside of my blog, Christian Fiction Blog, I write for the Master's Artist Blog, and I am a Christie's Book Awards judge.
Okay.
So if you go into Lifeway or any of the Christian bookstores and you see a book with a gold seal, I'm one of the judges who decide which books get that seal.
Okay.
I'm the only African-American judge. But we have this discussion a lot, and it comes down to really tapping into your spirit and seeing, listening to what God is saying to you.
Right.
Sometimes your story may be just for you. Sometimes your story may be for a congregation that you serve. Sometimes the story you write may be for your community. Then sometimes the story you write is for a national audience. But if you're tapped into Christ, you are praying, you are studying the Word, you are treating others like you want to be treated, you're just being pretty vertical with your life, it doesn't become an issue of branding so much as you hear what and you know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And as you write, before you write, you pray before you write. You have a peer group of Christian writers and editors who will go through the book with you. And I tell people, once you get to the end of the first draft of that book, you need to start looking at the marketing value of that book, what you are as an author really is the brand.
Right.
What things do you constantly come back to, or what topics, if you're a single mom, your story is always about single mom, Christian mom, then you build a brand from that. But you start thinking about that after you've written the first draft. So you don't want to start the book thinking, okay, what is my brand, and then I'm going to write to that brand. You write the story first and then see what happens once the story gets to the end. You start looking at your book on the business side.
Okay.
And then you make adjustments to prepare yourself for whether you want to get a proposal done and submit it to a book contest, or you're thinking about becoming a published author, or even if you're thinking about being self-published or independently published, you still need to go through the same channels. You need reviewers. You need editors to edit that book. The process doesn't change. You don't circumvent anything. but I suggest people, you if you get around a core group of good Christian writers, they will start to point out things in your story that you can't see, and then you'll see, this is what my brand is. This is what I write about, and I'll always write about this thing. And so I will build my story and my tagline and my marketing campaign around it.
Okay, because we have some dynamic authors online here tonight too. I'm going to open the lines up for a moment and see if we have any questions for you, Dee. Just to let you guys know that the lines are open. If you have any questions, we have Dee Stewart on here. Award-winning publicist and PR extraordinaire.
Yeah, usually I'm in the chat room, but I'm flat ironing my daughter's hair. She has to go to a little ball.
Okay.
It's about 30 minutes, so I'm not in the chat room today. I'm only on the call.
Okay, because we have the phone lines open. We have four callers on here. If you have any questions for publicist extraordinaire Dee Stewart, feel free to ask. Well, I'm going to ask you this question myself.
Okay.
Would you suggest self-publishing or someone who will wait for a book deal? I'm personally myself an independent writer, independent author. I publish my own stuff. I don't really wait for somebody to tell me whether or not they want to work with my project. I write it. I work with a team of editors, and I put it online. Would you suggest that type of publishing versus going through a big publishing house? I mean, what options would I have? Would a person like myself have in that type of arena?
Well, it depends on the type of author you are, and you're nonfiction. So, with a nonfiction writer, particularly a Christian writer, and you're a motivational speaker, because I do have clients like yourself. The best route, and I'm always first for the publishing house, and this is why. The publishing house takes your story, it vets your story. I mean, that means that it fact checks for you. It basically ensures to the marketplace that your book is safe. Bookstores are always afraid of being finding themselves in a lawsuit, or because it has happened in the past when they sold a book, a song, or anything, and it belonged to someone else,
right,
or it was liable, or it was some other issue. So when you go to a publishing house, their editing team, their primary mission is to make sure it's ready for the marketplace. Are all the facts checked? Are all the references correct? Are all the endorsements actually endorsements that the person endorsed said, yes, I did endorse that book? Second reason is a publishing house has the ability to submit your books to the marketplace on a national level. Now, if you are a motivational speaker and you only want to stay in your region, then independent publishing is the way to go. But if you want to reach people in different states or places you won't be able to go to, then you should go through a publishing house. The third thing is when you go with a publishing house is the publishing house not only incurs the cost to publish your book, they incur the cost of getting the book designed with a design team. They have a sales team that works on selling your book to booksellers and wholesale booksellers for you. They insure the book. They submit your book for book awards that you don't have to pay for. They pay for book club, wholesaler book club, membership fees that you don't have to pay for. And they provide you first training, advanced reader copies so that your book can be seen and reviewed by the National Library Association and different journals and newspapers that require that you submit your book 6 months in advance for review. You want to have a good relationship with libraries because libraries do not charge back. If they take your book, the book is there. And you can't get into the library system outside of after your book is out and you go and try to sign up a consignment arrangement as opposed to you going through a publishing house and they have their own publicity team or PR team who's already submitted the book to the National Library Association and your book is already going to be sitting in libraries along with sitting out in the marketplace. Fourth, publishing houses also incur fees for a major book festival. Four major bookstore chains. There's some bookstore chains that won't take independent published authors for in-store events because they already have a invested relationship with publishing houses who they do their events with. So all those things, they save you a lot of money. And I often get potential clients or clients that come to me and say, well, I want to have creative control of my book, and a publishing house won't give me creative control of my book. And that is, I think that is the person not understanding the industry more. Because a publishing house's job is to sell books. And if you are the author, and you have a relationship with that publishing house, they're going to listen to you and work with you on how to sell their books. Now, they're not going to do what you want them to do because they know the marketplace. They're not going to pay you what you want to be paid because you're going to get paid on the back end. And this is the issue with those who have an argument against going through the self-publishing route is they want to make all the money up front.
Right.
Well, let's be honest here. A publishing house takes your book. They loan you or give you a certain amount of money based on the first printing, and then they're going to take care of the advertising, billing the book, distributing the book, doing all the channels that you don't have to do. And all you have to do is go out here and read the book and sell the book to as many people as you can put your hands in front of, and they're going to do that and more on that end, their end. I don't see what the major complaint is. Now, if you want to be an independent publisher, and there are very good reasons to become an independent publisher, because there's some books that are not in the marketplace because the publishing house says we can't afford the cost to print this amount of books because there are not enough booksellers. Case in point, if you write a novella or a book of poetry, or it's a new genre that is too new or too old for bookstores to carry, then you can become an independent writer. I have a good friend, Linda Dominique Grossner, who has written some great independent books that became New York Times bestsellers. She knows the industry. She was once a published author with a major publishing house. She learned the industry, and now she can do her own books. I suggest to anyone who wants to go the independent route is to build an audience that they know will sustain them through their first printing. Because the biggest challenges I see for independent authors, and I also see this with published authors, for a different reason, is not having enough money to market themselves